No, sir. I understand you're passionate. I understand that your wife is actually the one who's in charge of your household. I understand that. But if you want to enter the court of the Sheep Get Sheared podcast, where we talk about actual logic and reason, court is now in session. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Green. My friends, today we're going to talk about what Christian men are losing. And I don't mean that they're losers. I mean that a lot of us are losing. We're losing out on information. We're losing out on opportunities. We're being led down a wrong path under what people say is the right thing to do. That's what I'm talking about. Don't ever think that I'm calling you a loser. There are some people in this life who are losers, but then there are others who are just making decisions that are causing them to lose, that if they changed those losing habits, they would not be a loser. In fact, they could become a winner. And one of the things that we often don't understand, the influences that surround us are often the things that are poisoning us, whether intentionally or unintentionally, it doesn't matter. There's a book by Napoleon Hill called Outwitting the Devil. And in the church, the devil is put as like this boogeyman. And I'm not saying he's a good guy. Don't get me wrong. He's not. But a lot of times people don't understand how the forces of what we might call evil operate. You might think that, oh, we need to watch out for the things that are evil and bad and things that are obvious. But it's not the things that are obvious we need to watch out for. It's the little things that are little... They're covert. They're not extremely obvious to us that we must stop letting fly by our radar and we must catch. And one of those is the bad advice that we get, whether it's from pastors, could be from mentors, could be from people that we even respect, that they might be knowledgeable in one thing, but that doesn't make them knowledgeable in everything. But we will take their word for it because we think they're smart. And the biggest problem that is outlined in the book Outwitting the Devil is this idea of drifting. A lot of people drift in this life. And to be a drifter means you don't have a lot of purpose. You have a lot of opinions, but you don't have a lot of real proof to back them up. You have a lot of things you're passionate about, but you never really fulfill them. You catch on to what I'm saying here? A drifter is somebody who wants to do everything, but then does nothing. And one of the biggest, in Napoleon Hill, what he writes is one of the biggest allies of the devil is actually the church. Because they focus on leading through fear. They try to make you fearful of the devil instead of leading you towards God. And what he says is God and the devil you might not agree with. But that's not what we're here to address. We're here to address, are they losing habits that we are surrounded by? And often they are pushed forward by the people whom we most respect. And so in the spirit of doing that, we're going to look at some clips. And we're going to walk through them, and I'm going to show you what I mean. We're going to break them down, we're going to discuss them, and before I get into the clips, I want to hear what you have to say. This channel is growing very fast, and I want everybody who listens and watches the show to share your experiences, because I can guarantee you, and I'll share my own stories, don't get me wrong, I'm happy to do that. But the more people who share, the more of us we can exchange notes and we can realize, wait a minute, we're not as alone as we thought. Wait a minute. A lot of people are in this boat. A lot of men can see the fact that Christian women are not who they pretend to be. That a lot of pastors are not helping us. They're hindering us by giving us all that information that's out of the loop, uninformed, and a lot of it is only used to help benefit what I call religion incorporated. It's about the money, not about your soul, or about your mindset, or about your life and what's in your best interest. A lot of people weaponize God to guilt you, and I don't like that. I hate that. It makes me sick. They use it to justify the people who they want to be vindicated, and then they want to go after and pursue the people who they want to hold accountable. And unfortunately, the biggest demographic that's being pursued are men, because I've outlined this before, but I'll give you a brief recap of what I've discussed in the past. Men since World War II have checked out of the church, a lot of whom They didn't come back from war. The other ones came into the church, and they realized that now the women were running the church, and the weak men who couldn't fight were running the church, and they saw the weakness, and they ran from it. And now that's what we have the churches we have today, is because it's being run by weak men who are being puppeted by women and their interests. That's why you hear a lot of pastors talk about, oh, don't worry, gentlemen. It doesn't matter if she slept with 50 dudes and done X number of things. But don't worry, because now she's saved. Now she's a good woman. Even though she's like 25, 30, 35. She wasn't when she was 18 and in her prime. But now she's all yours, even though she's been used up and gave her best years to some dude who didn't care about her. No, you get to have her. And if you don't, then you're the problem and you're a bad man and shame on you. That's what they tell you. And I don't go for that. And I know a lot of other men are not going for it. And what they'll do is, if you want to be in that community, you want to be in a church, they'll shame you. They'll look at you like you're the reject. When in fact, Paul himself said that it's better to be single. But of course, no one wants to cite that because that doesn't fit the narrative that they want to push. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to the video clips of the day, shall we? All right, which one? Oh, here's the first one we got for today. All right, gentlemen. Here's what we're going to talk about right now. Here's what he's going to talk about. Take sex out of your relationship. This is a pastor. Yes, you heard me right. Talking about how men should not care about sex in their relationship. You ready for this? Oh, yeah. It's going to be good. Here we go.
Real men, would y'all say something up in here and let these ladies know they're embarrassing themselves, you're living less than your Christian standard, and you're marginalizing yourself by doing what these women in the world and the IG do, thinking that that's what you got to do to keep a dude? That's not how it works. A real man is wanting some type of challenge. You feel that if I don't give it up, then he's going to go get it from somebody else. You gave it up, and you still don't have it. Any man that you got to keep giving booty to keep, you don't want it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, hell no.
Did he hear you say that? Did I hear that right? Let's play it again.
Real men, would y'all say something up in...
Oh, okay. Flag number one. Anytime you ever hear a guy say real men, immediately don't listen to him. Immediately don't listen to him or her, because they are guilting you. Oh, you want to be a real man. Not a fake, implying that if you're not, you're a fake man. Immediately, the shaming language is out the door, in play, right away.
Here, and let these ladies know they're embarrassing themselves, you're living less than your Christian standard, and you're marginalizing yourself by doing what these women in the world and the IG do, thinking that that's what you got to do to keep a dude. That's not how it works.
Okay, no. Sir, I understand you're passionate. I understand that your wife is actually the one who's in charge of your household. I understand that. But if you want to enter the court of the Sheep Get Sheared podcast, where we talk about actual logic and reason, court is now in session. Here's what I'd like to ask you, sir. I'd like to call my first witness God himself. Is it not true, sir, that God created human beings? Do we agree on that? Okay, good. So then, why is it that a man has a natural desire to procreate with not even just one woman, but women in general? Especially when he's a young man. Can you explain that, sir? Okay, now I'll go to my next point. If men were programmed to like sex so much, did either A, did God make a mistake, or B, are you wrong? Please, sir, I'd love to hear it. Nothing? Okay. Oh, real men. Oh, sorry. I didn't realize I wasn't a real man, because I don't agree with you, I must not be a real man. Gentlemen, if you don't agree with this guy, this gump, then apparently you're not a real man. Apparently, if you want sex from your wife, you're not a real man. Even though you pay the mortgage, even though you pay for her lifestyle, and you care for those kids, and you do all these things, oh no, she ain't gonna do anything for you. No. I mean, gentlemen, let's have a real frank conversation. Would you marry a woman? Would you get married now? If you knew for a fact that you wouldn't have sex with your wife, would you ever have sex? Would you get married? Probably not, right? Because of course it makes no sense. when he says that, if when he says that counterpoint of if I don't give it up, he's going to get it from somewhere, that's what Pookie, Shad, and Tyrone have done, by the way. And it's natural for men, okay? Gentlemen, I know that this might rub some of you the wrong way because you've been misinformed and you've been told that if you do what a woman says and you make her feel good all the time, that she's going to reward you. The opposite's actually true. In fact, when you look at who women are, who, if you ask a woman what man she loved the most, it was most likely the guy who did her dirtiest. The guy who flaked on her, treated her like she was like nothing, who did things to her that she says she doesn't like to talk about, but secretly she still fantasizes about. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm not making this up. That's the guy she still cares about. She is not over that guy. We call it imprinting. And yet, you apparently aren't a real man if you can't just sit there and basically castrate yourself in your own marriage. Oh, and you wonder why men are leaving your church. You wonder why your church is filling up with women and the men are leaving. You wonder why. Because of advice like this.
A real man is wanting some type of challenge.
Real men get challenged every day in their professional and personal lives. Gentlemen, do you push yourself in your career? Do you push yourself out of your comfort zone? Do you find yourself working really, really hard to support people or even to just fulfill your own ambitions if you have them? We're surrounded by challenges as men. Do we really want to go home and face another challenge in our place of safety that's supposed to be our sanctuary from all the garbage that surrounds us, all the hardship and everything and all the suffering we go through? We want to go home and encounter more of it? No! No, we don't!
You feel that if I don't give it up, then he gonna go get it from somebody else.
Yeah, because that's usually what happens, and it's what women do.
You gave it up, and you still don't have it.
Oh my... Oh, but you have the ring, you have the house, you have the kids, you have the dog, you have the car, you have everything else! What is the man getting, then? What are the real men getting, sir? What are these real men getting other than a good pat on the head from you and their wives, calling them a hubby when they're getting no sex? What else are they getting? What answer do you have to that?
Any man that you gotta keep giving booty to keep, you don't want it.
Okay, well then go have fun being non-heterosexual then, I suppose, because at the end of the day, gentlemen, please let me know. Am I off base here? Because I don't think I am. How many of you at least think that having consistent sex with your spouse is normal? Me? Great. Because that's what's supposed to happen. That's why men get married. We don't get married just to pay for somebody else. We don't get married just to have another roommate who's going to bring us a lot of chaos and we got to protect from their own bad choices, which is statistically what happens in a lot of times. No, we don't do that because we feel like it. We do it because we want to, and because we expect something. We want that in return. We expect sex in return, yes. Yes, we do. And I don't care if you call me a dirtbag, or any of the guys who agree with me a dirtbag. You can call us whatever you want. I prefer to call us right, because it's objectively true. Let's continue. What's the next video? Oh, we got... Okay, we have Christian dating tips from a younger guy... Let's see what he got. Let's see what he's got to say.
Hi, welcome to my PowerPoint on Christian dating tips. First off, just because they're Christian doesn't mean they're actually Christian. Ask deep questions! You know, ask like, what does Jesus mean to you? Or like, what's your testimony? Or what's the gospel? How has God impacted your life, you know? And if they don't answer these questions correctly, then they are canceled. And then it helps to, you know, like, apply... like a Bible verse to the conversation, like it'll really spruce up like some interests, and like they'd be like totally interested. They think you're super smart in your word, which you probably are. And as you can tell by this detailed graph right here, these are the people who do, say a Bible verse in the conversation, and they do exponentially better compared to the rest of the people.
Oh,
so yeah, that was my Christian dating tips. And here's my work cited, www.mylifeexperience and www.mywhatmymentorstoldme.
Oh, mentors. Oh, great. Your mentors are out of their minds. Okay, first of all, let's break this down from the beginning. I'm going to restart this. Here we go.
Hi, welcome to my PowerPoint on Christian dating tips. First off, just because they're Christian doesn't mean they're actually Christian.
I've always never understood this point. So if they're just because they're Christian doesn't mean they're Christian. Okay, so then what are people... Okay, this is why your points that follows, they don't matter. You want to actually vet somebody? Don't give them the opportunity to give you textbook answers that they think are the right answers, but they don't actually believe. You want to vet somebody? Don't ask questions that have simple answers. Ask indirect questions that then you can gauge how they're going to answer. For example, gentlemen, don't ask a... Let's first thing you want to know about a Christian woman, if you want to vet Christian women. Gentlemen, you want to stop losing with Christian women? I'll help you out for a second if you actually want to have a relationship. I personally don't, but you, if you want to have one, here's a couple tips you could use that are going to be infinitely more successful than what this guy's about to say. Number one. You need to look at the past. Did she grow up Christian? Even if she grew up as a pastor's daughter, that's not a slam dunk. And if you want to know, pastor's daughters are usually crazy. Just look at people like, you ever heard of Lana Rhodes or Katy Perry or I think even Kesha? Oh yeah. You didn't know about that, did you? Yeah. Gentlemen, look at the past. Look at what they're doing outside of the church. Look at their Instagram. Look at their past, because the past tends to dictate the future and the present. If she was out there doing backflips on Chad and Tyrone, she's probably a bad investment. I don't care how many Bible verses she can quote you. I don't care how many times she goes to Bible study per week. I don't care how many times she volunteers at the children's ministry at your church. If she's doing backflips on Chad and front flips on Tyrone, she's not an investment. She is for the streets. She is for everybody. She is not someone to be taken seriously. I don't care how much they try to say, oh, well, I'm 30 now, so, and I made all those mistakes before, but now I'm not going to do that anymore. So you mean to tell me you were doing this for how many years, and now overnight, basically, you've decided you're not going to do that anymore? Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. And even if the guys who got you in their prime, they didn't want you, why the hell should I want you now when you're past your prime? Let me ask that question. Gentlemen, if you want to have a family, you can't be taking these women seriously, because they're going to most likely pull a Uno reverse on you or pull out the rug on you, just so you know. I'm not saying this to doubt cast. I'm not saying this to make you feel bad. I'm saying this because I want you to win, and you can't use losing strategies and win. What else has this guy got?
Ask deep questions! You know, ask like, what does Jesus mean?
No, see, all these questions he's outlined right here. What does Jesus mean to you? What is your testimony? What's the gospel? All these questions kids learn in elementary school. These are not questions you want to ask a potential spouse. Because guess what? They can give you the right answer without actually believing it, number one, or have actually lived it, number two. Do not fall for this. This is exactly what they teach you to do, and then they wonder why a lot of men get beer bellies, out of shape, they start balding and all these things, because their testosterone takes a nosedive because their wife is running their life now. They lost. Just because you're married does not mean you win. It's enough to get divorced. Divorced is bad enough, but what's worse, in my opinion, than divorce is living in a marriage where you hate your life. That's even worse. So a lot of men are in that position, and they're too afraid to talk about it because they know if they do, they're going to get shamed. They're going to get called the problem. The woman's going to take no accountability, and if they're done. I've had enough of this goofy guy who wears sunglasses indoors. I've had enough of this. Let's go to this guy. You are worth pursuing. We have a pastor who I assume is talking to women. He could be talking to men, I don't know, but he's saying, you are worth pursuing. What's with all these dudes having beards, by the way? Whatever, let's see what he got to say. Maybe he's gonna say something that I agree with.
If you're dating someone right now and there is not mutual pursuit, I would just warn you to reevaluate the relationship, because we tend to work for what we don't have. And if he's not doing anything that looks like a date, and if he's not ever dressing up and dropping some change on you, if he's not ever buying you something special, ladies, you are worth pursuing.
Oh my goodness.
What?
Oh, hell no!
You gotta be joking. Really? Oh, you could have just said, avoid Pookie, avoid game guys, avoid dudes who are no good, who have good salami, but not good morals. You could have said that, but instead you made it sound like the women were the victims. No, they are choosing those men that you just described because they are exciting, because they are unpredictable, because they're like the beast and they want to be the beauty that tames the beast. But you want to make it seem like it's the man's fault and the women are not at fault. No, sir, you're wrong. This is why men don't go to your church, except for the old boomers and maybe some Gen Xers. This is why men are checking out of the church who have a certain testosterone level. Not because they don't agree with what God says or what the Bible says, but because they don't agree with you and what you're saying. Because you're telling them that if they don't want to be a gump like you, if they don't want to go out there and marry a single mother, they don't want to go out there and marry a washed-up woman who's repackaged herself after being on the carousel for 10 years, 5 years, that I'm the problem. Not the person for making the bad choices, but I'm the problem. Not them, because their conversion validates your worldview. And so to complete that circle of validating your worldview, they want you to take that raw deal. That's what they're saying. And this is why a lot of Christian men are losing, because they listen to them. And then they realize, wait a minute. I'm not happy in my life. But I'm told that if I keep getting tapped like a utility, like a power outlet, that my life's going to be great. Men, giving is great. Giving is fantastic. But giving to people who take it for granted and don't appreciate you, that's not good. Giving to people who expect it from you, who treat you like garbage, that's not good. And the same people, like that guy, who talks about, all women should be pursued. Sir, relationships statistically work the best when the woman cares more about the man than the man cares about her. Because when the man cares more about her, she thinks of herself as above him, and then higher her hypergamy kicks in and says she can do better, and then she leaves that guy. Or treats him like crap and monkey branches away from him. This is what reality looks like. I know you don't like how that makes you feel. I know that you don't like what you just heard if you have not seen reality. But unfortunately, it's true. I wish I could sit here and tell you that works. It doesn't work. How else do you explain that the men that cared about her, she broke up with them? But the men that she wanted, that she couldn't get a relationship from, she wanted them more. How do you explain that she's hung up on those guys? Other than your philosophy makes no sense. And is based off of a fabrication, and that's why Christian men are losing. You think that because it's happening in the confines of a church, or because you believe in God, that all of a sudden, new rules, new game. No, it's the same game with the same rules. It just looks different. It's like playing, instead of playing regular Monopoly, I'm playing Star Wars Monopoly. It's still Monopoly. It just has different characters and different names, that's it. It's still the same game. My friends, please share your experiences in the past if you identify or can relate to anything that I discussed today. I guarantee you, you're not alone if you do. My friends, please share your thoughts and your comments, because this space is growing. Because a lot of men are... a lot of men are realizing they're not alone, especially in the church with this type of stuff. You're not alone. So please share your story, and you might find yourself less alone than you thought you were. My friends, take care of yourselves. Please do your own research on this topic. Please think with your brain and not what's below your belt, because that'll save you from making a lot of bad choices. Take care of yourselves. I'm out of here. Peace.